In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Thank God we have reached the halfway mark as far as the book of Genesis is concerned. Right? I want you to first turn to chapter 25, yeah? Now remember I told you, I think when we first started the lessons on the book of Genesis, yeah? You know, I told you to pay attention to, like, you know, words spoken by God, yeah, to His chosen. Here in chapter 25, this Rebecca, you know, she prayed to God, right, and inquire of the Lord, yeah, what would happen, you know, what had happened to her, because it's like, you know, the two, you know, babies, you know, within in her, it's like we're fighting, you know, against one another. Now, from verse 23 onwards, is the reply from God. Okay, is the reply from God. Now, we need to look at verse 23. Now, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. Alright. Now, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, you know that this part of the scriptures actually was quoted by Paul. You know, when he was talking to the believers in Rome, yeah, concerning what? Concerning the election of God. Right? Election? The choosing of God, yeah? Now, so he actually quoted, I think, the last part of verse 23. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, to illustrate, yeah, how God chooses. Right? Now, so you find that what God has spoken to Rebecca actually is more about His choosing, yeah? Rather than, you know, treating Esau unfairly, okay? Now I think in the book of Genesis, yeah, it teaches us that actually the work of God, the choosing of God, yeah, is above, you know, the influence of man. Now in a normal circumstance, obviously the firstborn should have been given what the blessing should have been, you know, should inherit, you know, whatever the father had in possession, at least in double portion. But here we find that, you know, God's chosen is above human tradition. Okay, now I want you to to bear this in mind, okay? I think we'll come back, yeah, and talk about it again when we come to chapter 27, yeah, when Isaac was deceived into blessing Jacob. Okay, we'll talk a bit more about that. Okay, now I want to read chapter 25, the last part of chapter 25. Here it talks about this Esau, yeah, sold his birthright, how he despised his, you know, the right of his, of being the firstborn. Okay, now so here we are told that on one occasion he went out to hunt, and he came back, you know, dead tired. So it happened that, you know, at that time Jacob was preparing, you know, some lentil. Now, so because he was so tired, therefore he said to Jacob that, you know, that he needed, you know, some of the lentil that he prepared. Now, Jacob said to him, I want you to read verse 32. Yeah, verse 32. 31, sorry. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Now 32, and Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is the birthright to me? Now here it talks about how he actually despised his birthright. Now if you take this onto a spiritual dimension, then you find that we are the firstborn in the kingdom of God. Now why are we called the firstborn, even though physically many of us here are not the firstborn of our own family? Now why does the Bible say we are all firstborn? Okay, now you know the according to the law of Moses, so a firstborn son is given the right to inherit what? The inheritance of the father. Okay? Now, you find that today, after we have been baptized into Christ, we are given the rights to inherit what? The heavenly kingdom. So, in that sense, all of us are the firstborn in Jesus Christ. Alright? I want you to read Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, look at the Mount Zion, Now, chapter 12, we read verse 23. Now, to the general assembly, assembly of Festa gathering, and church of the firstborn, all right? Now, you know that this church belongs to the firstborn. All of us are the firstborn of God. Why? Because we have been given the right to inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, through baptism, our sins are washed away. That is the idea. Okay? So, we are entitled. Verse 23, sorry. I keep repeating myself. Okay? So that's the idea, So even though physically, we are not the firstborn, but in the kingdom of God, we are the firstborn, insofar as we hold on to our status and maintain and keep ourselves in God, then truly the kingdom of God shall be given to us. Now, you find that this Esau, he despised what his birthright, okay? Now, I think this Hebrews actually pick on these issues and illustrate still further. Now, I want you to read Hebrews. Please turn to Hebrews. Chapter 12, I want you to look at chapter 12, verse 15 and 16, 15 to 17. Now, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Right? Now, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Or, you know, that if you are reading NKJV, I think another translation to the word profane means what? Godless. Godless? A profane person is a godless person who, what? For one morsel of food, sold his birthright. Okay. Now, if you look at this in a spiritual context, you'll find that we have been given this right, this to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we trade, our right with something else, it's like saying that we despise, what God has given to us. Now, in the eyes of God, we are godless people, meaning we show God no respect. He had used his life to buy our life. You understand what I'm saying? So at the expense of his life, we are saved. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so we cannot at any moment in time, yeah, you know, move away from this position. Okay? Now, that's why the Bible says he is a profane person, godless person, a person without God. Okay? So if we are in Christ Jesus, you know, for whatever reason, if we move away from this position, then we become a godless person. It's like we are not too keen, yeah, on what Christ has given to us. You get what I'm saying now? Yeah. Alright. this is Esau, okay? Now, obviously, the Bible also says that he is a fornicator. Right? Now, obviously, the idea here is about him being so worldly, right? You find that, you know, actually, later on when you read Genesis, yeah, he married to some Canaanite women, yeah, and that grieved the parents so much. We'll illustrate that a bit more later on. Okay? So, you know, being a chosen of God, yeah, you know, or a person who came from that that godly line, okay, lineage, and yet he chose what to marry to some Canaanite women, right? Okay, now we come back to Genesis. Genesis, we look at now we look at chapter 26. Yeah? Okay, now, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the day of Abraham. Right? Now, you find that both Abraham and what? And Isaac, yeah, experienced you have to kneel in front of everyone. Wow, what are you doing? Okay. Now, you find that both Abraham and Isaac, yeah, experienced this famine, right? Even in the time of Abraham, Abraham experienced famine. So what did he do? The Bible said he went down to, where did he go? Egypt. But on this occasion, did Isaac go down to, or did he go to any other place? No, because God asked him to stay put, to stay where he was. Okay. Now, you find that even though he stayed, you know, in the same place, it was not without danger. Again, yeah, it's like the experience that the father had, being played out on him also. You know, the same incident happened. You know, again, you can see how corrupt the mind of the people in those days. You know, when they saw a beautiful woman, then, you know what happened. You understand what I'm saying? That kind of thing. So it's like their minds were completely corrupt. Right? Now we find that there are some similarities, yeah, you know, in the life of these patriarchs. Right? Now, if you look at Abraham, Sarah, she was barren, and when you come to Rebecca, she was barren as well. And when you look at Sarah, she was very beautiful to behold, even at the age of 90. Unbelievable. 90, oh, not 90, 90. Well, now you reach 40, you fade away. Your glory, your beauty start to what? Disappear. It's a fact of life. Right? So I told you already, yeah? The secret of beauty is what? Is to fear God. It's not you dust your black, green, blue, yellow. Hey, forget it. Okay? You understand? The secret is to fear God. Yeah? All right, now, we come back. All right, now, so famine again. So, obviously, in the land of the Philistine, the same thing happened. Right? Now, so, I want to ask, did God actually intervene this time? Did God intervene? Yeah? God did not intervene. Did he intervene? Now, verse 8. Now it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistine, looked through a window and saw that there was Isaac showing endearments to Rebekah, his wife. And from that, okay, they came to a conclusion that, look, that cannot be your sister. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, for you guys, you don't need to read too much into this verse, okay? You understand what I'm saying? There's no need for you to read too much into that verse. Okay, come back. This is how the event was resolved, the issues were resolved. Okay, now I want you to look at the command here from the Lord to Isaac. Okay, let's look at verse 2. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I tell you." Verse 3. "Dwell in this land. I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendant I give all this land." "And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Okay. Now, so here God was saying to him that he would bless on account of his father Abraham. Now, why did God, this Abraham so much? Now, if you look at verse 4 and verse 5, especially verse 5, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Okay? Now, verse 4 says, "And I'll make your descendant multiply as the star of heaven. I will give to your descendant all this land and in your seed." Again, he repeated, God repeated what he said to Abraham, to Isaac. Okay? Practically was saying to Isaac, "Look, this is what I have promised your father." Okay? Right? Now, so, that all the nation on earth shall be blessed. So you find that Isaac practically was a very honest person, a very very obedient. Not only the Chinese, but I think the Bible teaches us to show, what you said, filial piety. This is our duty towards our parents. So, due respect must be given to the parents. Okay. Now, you find that this young man here, this Isaac, he must have been brought up in a very, disciplined manner. When you look at the interaction he had with the Philistine, so it goes without saying that. He was a well brought up person. Okay, now I think in the TJC, what the church and what your family want to see is that youngsters are brought up in a God fearing manner, right? So when you grow up, when you are in uni or in society, you can shine for the Lord and you behave as children of God. Okay, I think that is very important. Now here we can see that Isaac was able to truly shine for the Lord like his father did, so people could actually see God in him. And this chapter talks about that. Okay, now I'm going to come back to 26. Now, bear this in mind. Yeah, the background of this chapter, is an instruction given by God asking Isaac to remain in where, in the land of Canaan, in times of famine. Okay, famine, no water. Now, because the father, had dug many wells before, that's why, Isaac went to those wells, to redig the well, because they have been filled up with earth by the Philistine. Now, I want you to read verse 12 first, Verse 12. Verse 12, that Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, you can imagine, by remaining in the land of famine, God blessed him hundredfold. Now, what does it tell us? Right? Now, as long as we obey God, you find that even in the most difficult of circumstances, we can still experience God's grace. Right? And that is our faith and that is our trust. Hundredfold. Right? The Bible specifically mentioned a hundredfold. It's not 30, it's not 60, it's 100. Right? Meaning it's like saying that God bless him completely. Right? It's not just partially or whatever. Yeah? God gave him his full blessing on account of his obedience. It's a hundredfold blessing. Okay. Now, verse 13. The man began to prosper and continue prospering until he became very prosperous. It's like this guy, he doesn't know how to express himself very well. Began to prosper, continue prospering until he became very prosperous. Right? And he just changed the suffix and prefix of the word. Prosper, prosperous, prospering, prospered, what else? Prosperity. What else can you get from that word? It starts with prosperously. Okay, no, never mind. We'll come back. Now, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistine envied him. Okay? Now, after God has blessed him so much, now, it brought about what? It brought about conflict. Now, remember I told you what? If you look at the father, Abraham and Lot, isn't it? So, after God blessing, you find that the land of Canaan cannot even contain their possession, and as a result, strife what occurred, is it also? Between Abraham's servant and those of Lot. Yeah? Now here is the same, but Isaac, God bless him so much, and then what happened? The Philistine became envious of them. You get what I'm saying now? Can you see the similarity? Oh, yeah. Understandable? Yep? Okay. What? Alright, we'll come back. Now, so what did the Philistine do? And they stopped up all the wells, which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham. Now, you can imagine in the time of famine, what would you do if you were Isaac? What would you do? What would you do? This is like your lifeline, No water, no survival. All the flocks would die. Is it not true? What would you do? Christian, what would you do? What would you do if you were in the shoes of Isaac? And this Philistine came and filled your wells with earth and whatever. What would you do? You will fight, will you not? Huh? You gather all your family members, all your servants. Come. Whack them up. Isn't it also? Yeah? So you find that this is normal, what? Human, you know, reaction to a difficult situation. Now, I want you to look at this, yeah? And they have done it so many times, okay? So, it's like what? It's like Isaac gave way, and then they came again, right? And they fill up the well that the servant has dug, right? Now, I want you to read verse 17, yeah? Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Jorah and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the well of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistine had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the name which his father had called them. Now, what happened? Verse 20. Yeah? But the husband of Jorah quarreled with Isaac's husband, saying, the water is ours. Right? Again? What? They gave way. Now, verse 21. They dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also, at least three times in it. So in verse 22 said they move from there and start what? Digging again. Right? Now, I want you to credit the mind. Okay. Now, here, this chapter, one of the key lessons is about giving way. Right? We have been told that we need to give way. Now, you find that as for Isaac, what does Genesis say? The father has given him, number one, Abraham has given him everything. Now, everything include what? Include the army. Is it also? Remember, Abraham was able to raise up his own army to save who? Lot. Right? He was able to use his own army to defeat the four kings. Okay? You can see how mighty and how powerful Abraham was. Okay? Now, all this what was given to Isaac. Yeah? But did Isaac use this to fight?
No.
Okay, I want you to read verse 16, yeah? Actually, Abimelech knew about this. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. You know, if a small kid comes and bully you, what will you do? You know so? If a kid used a stick and hit you, 16 years old, and you are what? A karate expert, 7 ton. Huh? The guy come and challenge you, punch you.
It's that kind of thing.
Right? You walk away. You understand what I'm saying? Isaac gave way. This is the virtues. This is the virtue. Right? Sometimes we give way because we know that we cannot defeat our what? Our opposition. Our enemies. Because the guy is too strong. So, no choice. But for him, it's different. The Bible says he was mightier than all these people. Right? If he raised up his servant easily, yeah, easily he could have defeated them. Can you see the virtues of this person? You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, you know, sometimes, like, even in the church, yeah, you find that even you know so much about the church, you know, administration or whatever. You know, when someone raises a point which is different from yours, different from your ideas or opinion, there's no need to quarrel. In so far as it does not go against the Bible, you give way. This is the quality. This is the virtue that we want to see in the young people today, in the church.
Yeah. Like what we said, the world teaches us to what? To show our individualism, to be different, to be unique, to outshine others. But the Bible is different. The Bible wants us to. That's the virtues. No need to argue, no need to quarrel. You know, sometimes we want to show that we know so much. You know, end up, you know, all this unrefined characters within you begin to show up. Right? Giving way. Right? This is the what? The quality of Isaac. He did not fight. Keep quiet. That's why, only by giving way, then peace will come. Peace will come. Okay? You find it today is very different. Well, you see the world is so chaotic. What? Like, you have not been to a war-torn country. Yeah? Now, I have been to two war-torn countries, wars, savage country, Liberia and Sierra Leone. These two countries now is suffering from what? Ebola outbreak. Yeah. We've been there many times. I think quite a few times I went with preacher Timothy Young. We went there. I tell you, war-torn country, you can even see bullet hole. The war. Yes. War-torn country. Right? Why? Because people within the fight for what? Fight for power or whatever. Not willing to give way, not willing to give in. That's the problem. Right? Now, so one time I went there to Liberia. I saw so many UN keepers, peacekeepers, all of them from Russia. I said, oh, no joke. So big guy with machine gun. You know, in the airport, I'm telling you. You know, so in my heart I was saying, okay. You think this guy, these people are peacekeeper? No. They are stationed there, ready to kill. Right? You see how confused the world has become. Right? The world thinks that by killing another person, you can bring peace to the world. No, you can't. The only way is what? You give way. That's the principle of the Bible. So this whole truth with our life in our own family and in the church, especially in the church, if we want to serve God, we must cultivate ourselves with this virtues, this quality. Right? Now, if we are very, what, how do I say, very showy type of characters, then it's become very difficult to serve God. Well, we need to really, you know, humble ourselves and learn to give way. In this way, you find that God will use us. And in fact, through us, the virtues and the manifold wisdom of God can be manifested. Okay, now we come back. Now, verse 22. And he moved from there and dug another well and did not quarrel over it. So he called his name Rehoboth. Because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. What does Rehoboth mean? Spaciousness, yeah? Spaciousness. Now, let me illustrate a bit. Okay. Spaciousness. Now in your mind, how can you obtain spaciousness? How? How can you obtain? Like if you live in a big room, big house, oh, spacious. Is it so? Huh? Is that correct? Oh, what do you say? 9-bedroom house. So no one can find you. Spacious. I have the whole house to myself. But human being cannot live by himself or herself. He cannot live alone. Okay, God has not created us in this world. We say what? We are gregarious, right? Meaning we have to live in. Right? Now, you find that when we talk about spaciousness, it is within a person. It is the heart. You know, sometimes when I look at some of our, you know, Chinese brothers and sisters, yeah, from mainland, right? They came over to the UK. Oh, they live a very tough life. Sometimes one room, you can squeeze how many people? Small room, about six. I said, my goodness, how are you going to sleep? A packed sardine. How are you going to sleep? Six people in one small room, at least. But you find that when they can live so harmoniously together, it creates what? Spaciousness, even though they are in a very confined area. It's the heart. Okay, I ask you a question. Newcastle Church is very big. Is it not big? Big. If you are not happy with one or two people in the church, you find that Newcastle Church is very small. What? Because when you see the guy, you want to. And when you turn left, you see that no way to run. Is it not true? You try to come up to the third floor. the mother is there. You don't know where to hide. What? The heart. You understand what I'm saying? It's here. I think this is a common experience, okay? It's a common. It has been my experience as well. But once we are able to get over this problem, right? And we can face with problems, or we can deal with our interaction with others freely, then you find that even though we are in a very small room, we are very happy together. Seriously. This is spaciousness. Is it not true? So how many bedroom house you, I mean, how many rooms you, I mean, house you want to buy? Two houses for yourself? You know, when you look at animals, yeah? These people, they got winter houses, what, summer houses, ivory houses. You don't believe? I'm going to show you. They have so many houses. Animals. Okay, we turn to chapter 3. Okay, we read verse 15, yeah? Chapter 3, verse 15. Okay. Now, I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. Yeah? Winter, summer. And then the houses of ivory shall perish. And then, and the great houses shall have an end. Wow. Summer, winter. But if you don't give way, even though you have so many houses, even though your houses are massive, you find that, you know, all these houses cannot bring spaciousness to you. You know what I'm saying? Right? So next time you don't have to buy, you know, a big house for yourself. No, you don't need that. Buy a small house. A studio flat. Studio flat. Your bedroom is there, your kitchen is there as well. Studio. You should be happy. Is that true? Why do you want a big house for what? Now people start downsizing, you know. The house too big, so downsize. Okay?
So if you are happy, if everyone in the family, you know, is happy with one another, then you'll find that one. You find that it's so joyous to live in a small house. Do you want to buy a big house? Why? You think you can get this? No. Buy a small one. A studio flat is enough. Don't waste the money. Use the other money to want, offer to the church, so we can go to Africa and preach. Alright, now we come back. Now, look at verse 22. The last part it says is very true, actually. For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And this is the understanding of Isaac. You know, when you give way, you find that God will make room for you. God will. Definitely He will. Okay? Because we are willing to, you know, to be, you know, a peaceful people. Right? And you find that God will make room. Obviously, there are some very difficult people around. No matter how hard you try, they might not, you know, respond to your kindness or whatever. But at the least, within you, it is spacious. You get what I'm saying? Right? The problem is not with you, the problem is with, you know, the people who do not want to get reconciled to you. Right? Right? So, to me, I think this chapter is so wonderful. Yeah? I think it teaches us that in the house of God, or in our own family, this is what we want to pursue. Huh? Now, can I ask you, can you live harmoniously with your parents? Eh? Sometimes I go visiting, I'm not here. You know, the parents complain, rah, 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 my daughter, my son. I say, rah, rah, rah. I said, bring them to YTTC. We'll fix them up. Next time, if I come back to the central, maybe you never know, next year I'll come back, go visiting or listen to your mom or your mom and what your father said. Then I'll come and visit you. Okay. That is Isaac. Okay, now we move on. Look at verse 24. Now, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'll bless you and multiply your descendant for my servant Abraham's sake. Now, you find that because what Isaac did was well pleasing in the eyes of God. That's why God appeared to him after that. It's like to reaffirm him that his promise or his promises could not be broken. Now you find that if you have done, you know, something which is pleasing in God's eye, in this case, you know, if you give way, you know, in a conflicting situation, you'll find that you will be comforted by God. Definitely, you will not lose out. You will not lose out. Okay. You will not lose out. So class, yeah, remember this, there's no need to fight, there's no need to argue over, you know, issues which are not very important to our spiritual growth, right? Then the church will be a peaceful place. Alright? Okay, one more verse before we take a break. Now verse 25. Now, so he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servant dug the well. Now, right here, Isaac what? Isaac built an altar. Did the father build altars? Can you see the similarities? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So you find that this tradition of worshipping God, yeah, had been passed down to Isaac. Yeah, I think this is quite encouraging in a way. You know, all the goodness that you have received from God, all the blessing, must be passed down, must be imparted to the next generation. I think Abraham had done a good job here. Okay? And so he built an altar. Now, well, we take a break. Say a silent prayer. Amen.
All right.